Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. You want to marry your partner forever, but the debt that might come with the wedding, you don't want that to be around until death do us part. It could be, it should be one of the happiest days of your life, but it could also be the most expensive, and it can be overwhelming when you think about having to budget for it, save for it, and all that stuff. So what are some things that you can do to limit your financial stress when it comes to planning a wedding? To share her insight, we're joined by Karen Cleveland. She's the co-author of The New Wedding Book, A Guide to Ditching All the Rules. I love that title. Hello, Karen.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I'm going to take a deep breath so I can prepare myself for your answer to my question. What is the average cost of a wedding in Canada these days?
Are you sitting down?
I am sitting down.
Approximately $30,000.
That is just, I cannot even, that is the price of a car, a used car, but the price of a car. Why do you think this number has climbed to this level? What are one or two things that are going on in our culture that have brought it to 30 grand?
Well, I think it's a confluence of a couple factors, but I think, you know, we're a consumerist society where more is more, and you add in, you know, things like social media and the sort of, I joke, like the wedding one-upmanship, where everyone wants to feel like their wedding is just a little bit more special, a little bit more unique, a little bit more bespoke, and it's driving the cost through the roof.
I had a number of friends get married this summer, and I asked them, how was the wedding? What was the very best part? One said the vows. The other said the DJ. They just danced their faces off. Neither of those things are expensive, and the vows are free. No one said the flowers. No one said the venue. No one said the dress. How do couples determine what the priorities are for them?
Well, I think that's the part of the problem, frankly, is that a lot of couples are on autopilot, just sort of checking off the boxes of what they think a Western wedding has to look like with all of the budget trappings. And that was really the thesis of the book, is why are weddings the way that they are? Like, we're spending heaps of money on weddings. By some estimates, the cost of weddings have doubled in the past 10 years, but the average family income in the country has only increased by about 26%. So it just doesn't square. What's more, divorce rates aren't really budging. So I think it does beg the question, like, what is driving all of this hoopla?
You have a whole chapter called Overspending. Our relationship with money gets complicated. Our relationship with money is complicated in so many areas. How would you articulate the dynamic for a couple and for a family? Because for many, this is involving their parents. It's a much more nuanced thing than other purchases.
Mm-hmm. It's so complicated. And everyone loves the wedding, right? It's the most beautiful, hopeful occasion. It's laden with expectations, often cultural or generational. And for a lot of North American couples, it's almost a given that getting married is going to end in some sizable debt and some serious financial stress. And that's really concerning. It also doesn't bode well for a happy marriage. So check this out. There's a chapter in the book that looked at a review of 115 studies about divorce and found that there's a direct correlation. Couples who spend liberally, and I mean going into sizable debt for their wedding, are going to have poor outcomes, and they're more likely to divorce than couples who stick to a tight budget. Now, I don't think we can chalk up a wedding budget to the outcome of a marriage, but I do think it becomes sort of a bellwether for how a couple is able to navigate financial stress very early in their relationship.
What are some examples that you would offer in terms of couples who have made creative choices about how they host the wedding? So, you know, our venue was not a big banquet hall. It was a theater. It cost $1,000. It was nothing. We didn't, you know, and I mean, it was two dudes, so we weren't buying big gowns. We could have bought big gowns. We didn't buy big gowns, but all we bought was a shirt. We bought a shirt. What are some examples of the things that you have seen people do that may go against the norm, but also cost much less than the norm?
I think everything's on the table. So I would say one of the obvious examples that people sometimes feel uncomfortable pursuing is just to have a really small wedding. One of the easiest way to keep your cost down is have fewer people. Also, I've seen weddings that opt for like a brunch occasion rather than an evening reception, which guess what? Your bar bill is going to be an absolute fraction of that because people aren't staying up all night. But I don't think there's a one size fits all solution to how to manage your budget. I do think there's something really powerful and magical and empowering for couples to sit down and say, like, what do we really want? Like, yeah. We know what social media tells us what we want. And we know what sort of the general zeitgeist tells us we should want. But what's important to us? Mm. And that might be a condo, a down payment on a place to live. It might be an absolutely ridiculous honeymoon. And maybe they elope. Maybe that's their wedding. But I'd say it really comes down to what that couple feels like is honest and authentic and integral to them, and not just going through the motions of what a really big industry says you should have.
One of the areas where there isn't, I would argue, isn't sufficient discipline is on the budget, because a budget in its truest form is, you know, it's top down, there's a number. And then you make really, really, really hard choices to ensure you come in under that number. And what I think a lot of couples do is they don't actually budget. They tally the expenses and it becomes the bill. So based on what we want, this is the bill. What is some advice you have for people on actually having some discipline around the budgeting?
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more with that. You're right. They're tallying a bill for the wedding that they think they want versus the wedding that they can actually afford. And that's how you build a budget. You start with what money you can predictably save or that you know you have access to. And by having access to, I don't mean draining investments, pulling from your savings, maxing out your credit cards. I mean, like, pragmatically, as a couple, you can absolutely afford. If your family has said, look, we'd love to contribute X amount of money, that's amazing and very generous, but couples should not be going into their wedding planning assuming that anyone other than themselves is going to bankroll this. That I think is at the absolute core. And then realizing what priorities really matter to you. So you mentioned a wedding that you went to and people said the most important thing was their DJ. Cool. That should be the first line item in your budget. And then everything else should fall from there. But you really do have to make some hard decisions. You're probably not going to have a TV-worthy wedding on the budget of your dreams. You're going to have to give somewhere.
Yeah, because you won't have the drone camera and the four standalones and the audio on every human in the wedding party.
Yes.
It can be an extraordinarily stressful day for the bride, for the groom, for the other bride, for the other groom, whatever the makeup is, for the parents. It really can be stressful. And there are ways to throw money at problems to reduce the stress. One could be a wedding coordinator or a wedding planner or something. Mm-hmm. How do you factor that in, the cost benefit of the stress reduction? We had a producer for our wedding. Granted, she was a friend, so she didn't pay, but it was a skill set that made life so much easier on the day.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's a great solution. So knowing that you don't want to be playing sort of air traffic controller on your big day, you can tag in that really super organized friend that you think could function as a sort of project manager on the day and make sure that all your vendors are arriving on time, that they're being paid for the day. I worked in events for a lot of my career, so I had no problem doing that for my own wedding. Granted, it was only 50 people, so there was nothing really high stress or fast paced about it. But I think that's a conversation every couple should have. Wedding planners, of course, you pay for, but they might be able to unlock some savings in your wedding planning that might almost, the cost savings might sort of warrant their bill. But yeah, there's lots of different ways around that.
We talk a lot about the conversations the couples need to have. And I also referenced the families. In my circumstance, we were planning no flowers and my mom was like, stop the action, hold on, we got to have flowers. How do you illuminate some of the priorities that other people in that sort of second circle outside of the couple themselves that are real priorities for them?
Yeah, that's a great metaphor. If it's not the flowers, it's going to be, oh, you're not having a cake or you're not having a reception line.
Yeah, the reality then it's not a wedding if you don't do those things.
Yeah, or not the wedding that they've clearly envisioned or conjured up. So that's an important thing to reconcile is as much as we have our own ideas about what our wedding might look like, which is deeply, deeply personal, everyone else is going to be projecting what they think your wedding should also be. And that is sometimes a budget conversation. Sometimes it's a relationship conversation. Look, I know that's really important to you, Mom. We'll have a couple of your favorite flowers at the front, and that's what we can work in our budget, and that's it. But I think being really careful with that, because once you open it up to oh, we can't afford that thing, you're essentially opening up a conversation where someone can fix that with money. And then suddenly they're making decisions for you that they're paying for, and that might not feel right anymore.
Just before we go, I want to ask you about the guests, because for many weddings, the guests face a real financial obligation. Sometimes it could be a destination wedding. You could be a part of a wedding party that has multiple events prior and a, you know, bachelorette or bachelor party in Vegas and all that. How do you draw boundaries that are respectful of the couple, celebrate the friendship, and don't bankrupt you?
I think that there's so many important nuances there, like the closeness of the relationship. Like, are you talking about your sibling getting married or like your old college roommate? So I think the closeness of that relationship is probably going to dictate how much you're willing to disrupt your life and your budget to be part of that wedding in whatever way you feel is right. What I will say is that regardless of your decision, everyone appreciates kind wishes. Everyone appreciates a phone call saying like, I'm so happy for you. Like, you're clearly so in love. This is just the best. And whether that means you can't be there in person, like, you know, traditional etiquette dictates that you have an entire year to send a gift. So there's no pressure to have some extravagant present waiting for them on the day after the wedding, but really just showing up in a thoughtful, loving, caring way.
That is fantastic. Karen, congrats on the book and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Karen Cleveland is the co-author of The New Wedding Book, A Guide to Ditching All the Rules. It's a great resource. Lots and lots of creative ideas in there and a real way to shift your mindset about what the wedding means and what's important to you.